It's good to be back with you guys. It's been about 2 weeks now. We were gone last Sunday on vacation, and then the doctor has told us we better be serious with Josiah as far as taking him out in crowds. So Haley and I have been kind of taking turns with that. So that's where she is with him as well. So be in prayer for him as well, too, because he's had bronchitis twice now, I think, and he seems to have a cough that won't go away. So. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at the last verse that really regards or speaks about Moses. It doesn't mention his name in the verse we're going to look at tonight, but it's the last verse that deals with Moses. In fact, verses 23 through 29 of Hebrews chapter 11 have dealt or concerned the life of Moses. So we've covered quite a few verses regarding him, not as much as regarding Abraham, but quite a few verses. And also in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, in our study here, in our series that we're going through, we're almost three quarters of the way through. There's 40 verses, and tonight we'll end with verse 29. That's our text tonight, verse 29. I was going to deal with verse 29 and 30 together, because what you have here is the faith in groups, faith of a multitude. You have it talking about the faith of the children of Israel as they went through the Red Sea. And then in verse 30, you have the faith of the children of Israel as the walls of Jericho fell down. The reason I didn't put them in one message, although some of you may say I wish you would have to pick up the pace a little bit, but the reason I didn't is because these are two separate groups of people. The first group was a people that ultimately their faith wavered, didn't it? When they were in the wilderness, they were murmuring, they were complaining, and they sinned against God, and as a result of their sin, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation was gone. And the generation that went through Jericho and divided and conquered the land was a new generation of people. So that's why we're going to divide this. There's plenty to look at in verse 29. I know it may not seem like it, but we're going to have plenty to talk about. So let's look at our text this evening. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. It says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the time that you've given us together in your house. Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have together here. But mostly, Lord, we're thankful for the people that you have assembled here, that you have called and that you have guided and set in this assembly. And we're so thankful we're able to gather here tonight. Though we may be few in number tonight, Lord, we are still looking to draw closer to you, still looking to worship you, Lord, and we know that we can do this. We thank you for the songs that have been sung. And Lord, there is joy in our hearts from these songs and from the fellowship that we have with you and the joy that you give us, Lord. Now as your word is about to go forth, we pray, Lord, that you would be with each and every one of us. Draw us close to you, draw us close to your word, that we may marvel and just truly be thankful that you have given us a revelation of your word. May we be students of your word. And may we read and always look to your word for guidance and for fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, as I speak tonight, I pray you would give me the words to say. Keep me from saying anything else. And may Christ Jesus be exalted. And may the wonderful works of you, Father, be bestowed in our hearts, that we know that we serve a living God that is all-powerful. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Tonight in verse 29, we're going to look at three thoughts that come up in regards to faith. Of course, this is the chapter regarding faith. We've had the definition of faith in verses 1 and 2. We've had examples of faith, whether it be The first example given, which was Abel, Enoch, we have Abraham. There was many examples that we can go through of faith. And now we're looking at the life of Moses. But now I want you to notice it says in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. This is referring to all the children of Israel that walked across the sea, the Red Sea. So the three thoughts that we have regarding faith here in this text, you may say, how are you going to get three thoughts here? But we're going to look tonight at a confirming faith. And I'll explain that here in a moment. We're going to look at a copycat faith and then a common faith. And I think they're not necessarily come out and say these things, but when you think about what this text is talking about, you can see all three of these thoughts regarding faith. So first we're going to look at a confirming faith. Based on the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, that almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, we learn already in our text and in chapter 11 and verse 1 that faith is something that is beyond reason. It may be beyond scientific explanation. It may be beyond proof of this world. But faith is the very evidence that we have. It is given by God. It is the knowledge or the belief that God will do what He says He will do. When you put your faith and your trust in God, you are saying that God is capable and will do what He has said. That's what faith is. But faith also, it says, is the evidence of things not seen. Meaning, we, in the year 2016, we were not in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified, were we? Isn't it crazy that really that was considered a science or a historical fact forever until the last 100 years or so when people started denying that that even took place? It reminds you of the, I hate to go there in the message, but it reminds you of those that believe the Holocaust never even took place. People try to put away or sweep under a rug or say something never happened that was so obvious and there's evidences of it. And that's the case with the death of Christ. Although we were not there, why do we believe that that took place? And now we can't even say people consider it a historical fact. There's some people that don't. We believe it because of faith. Were you there when Elijah and Mount Carmel had the great sacrifice and God rained fire from heaven and consumed His sacrifice? No, but we believe that. Why? Because of faith. Because God's word says it, and we by faith believe it to be true. And although we can't prove these things, it's as real to us as me standing up here tonight. Why? Because faith is the evidence of the things unseen. So when I say we have a confirming faith, I may not mean that we have to be able to prove these things by science, but what I'm saying is we need to stand strong on the things that God writes in His Word. We need to stand for God's Word by faith. Why did I bring that up now? Some of you may already guess. But isn't it amazing that people will try to come up with any explanation to do away with the power and the miracles of God? Have you ever heard, I'm sure most of you have, and if not, you will tonight, but have you ever heard of people that take the position that Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Sea of Reeds? Have you ever heard that? If you've heard that, raise your hand. Have you ever heard that? The Sea of Reeds? Well, what this is a sea in that area, or more like a river or creek almost in that area, that is not as deep as the Red Sea. It's not nearly as wide as the Red Sea. And what has happened is the translators obviously just made a mistake in translating, and they should have written that they crossed over the Sea of Reeds. Now, why is it that people would make that claim? There's a lot less water there. In fact, so much so that they say it's possible that they could have waded through that water even if there was nothing going on. But what we'll say is during that time there's some sort of cyclone wind or something that took place, and just at that moment the wind kind of got to where maybe a rock caught it or something, and there was a place in that little area that they could go through and not have the water under their feet. That is those that take the position of the Reed Sea, or the Sea of Reeds. Wasn't as big as a miracle there, is it? You see, what people try to do is say, it would be impossible for this sea, the Red Sea, as big as it is, it would be impossible for them to cross over this sea. There's no possible way, even at the smallest area of width, there's no possible way, due to the depth of the sea, and there's no way people could cross that without a boat, that these translators must have got that wrong. Folks, we need to defend the Word of God. By what? By faith. Not by science, but by faith we believe that Moses and the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea. This reminds me of a story I've heard, which is interesting. When people talk about this, they say there was an old preacher that heard this story, and someone preached and says, yes, that means the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea. So all of you preachers, you're wrong in regards to this. This is a wrong translation, and it wasn't as big as a miracle as you thought. And apparently one old preacher said, hallelujah. And the man said, well, why would you say hallelujah to this? They said, well, I find it an even greater miracle that Pharaoh and all of his army drowned in 2 inches of water. But you see the ridiculousness of it when people try to cast away the power of God? And that's all that it is. It's trying to take something that is divine, something that has to come from the hand of God, something that can't be done by man, and trying to explain it away to a reasonable, scientific explanation that man can comprehend. And that's why you have this. And it's not just with this. There's many other areas. You look at the miracles of Christ, and people will try to come up with scientific, reasonable things that man's thinking can come up with to deny the power of God, to deny that the Son of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's one of those instances. Folks, God's Word says that they parted through the Red Sea. Now, even if this is any kind of translation error, there is plenty of verses that ascribe this as a miracle of God and describe it by the power of God and not by human reason. And I just want to take a moment, and this may take a few minutes, but let's look first at the origin of our passage here in Exodus chapter 14. And then I'm going to go through the scriptures. And we're going to look, and you don't have to follow with me, but we're going to look at multiple verses that describe this as a miracle of God. This is the text that actually describes what has happened here. In Exodus 14, the Lord tells Moses that Pharaoh, his heart is hardened, and he will come after them, but not to worry. Notice verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near unto the children of Israel, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, now keep in mind verse 11 here, because we'll bring this up here in a moment. But they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. Who? The Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel as they go forward, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go, how? On dry ground through the midst of the sea. And that's what took place. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Who caused the sea to go back? The Lord. That's the other problem I have, and I'm just going to go ahead and mention that here in a moment. Here for just a moment. I hate that people try to explain away the power of God, but then I also hate the other extreme when people put all the power in Moses' rod. You ever see that? That is Moses, and it was Moses that parted the Red Sea, and it was Moses' rod. It was some sort of magic stick that parted the Red Sea. It was the Lord that parted the Red Sea. It says here that Moses stretched out his hand, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went up into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 27, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. Verse 26, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon the chariots and their horsemen. Because as we know, the Egyptians rode in there after them. And once all the children of Israel were on dry ground, the Lord collapsed the sea again. Now let's common sense go through this Reed Sea proposition. You either have to have one of two things. You have to either believe by faith, not by science, because I can't explain the way that that happened. It was God. So I have to believe by faith, because God said He did that. That's why I believe He did that. Is that why you believe it happened? By faith. So we can either take it by faith that that happened, or we can believe it's a different location, but we have to believe in that case in some crazy coincidences that would take place. What are some crazy coincidences that would take place? Well, number one, we would have to say for them to pass through on dry land that little bit of water would have had to split open some way, and a great wind would have to come and make that scientifically possible. For that to happen, at the exact time that the children of Israel needed to cross over, that's such a coincidence, isn't it? Secondly, we're talking not 5 or 10 people here. How many people are we talking about when we're talking about the children of Israel? We're talking about thousands, a multitude of even millions, crossing over this little area. How is it that Pharaoh and his army can't get past that themselves? How a million people, first of all, a million people can go across without them catching up to him? That's not logical. What's the reason behind it? We know that God fought for them and kept them back until they all crossed, right? But if that didn't happen, then what is the reason? Why wouldn't they catch them before they all even crossed? We're talking about a million people here. And then secondly, for them to drown in this little bit of water, this area, when they're in chariots, doesn't seem very feasible, does it? So my two propositions are, you have to believe in some very ridiculous things if you want to cast this away. Or you say you believe in the ridiculousness of a miracle, which is what God says He did. So either way, there's some foolishness there, isn't there? Now, when I say foolishness, keep in mind, I'm talking about man's attitude. The wisdom of God is foolishness to man, isn't it? So when He looks at that, I mean, really, you either take man's cold-hearted attitude and you say, well, that's foolishness to believe that a God would do that, or you have to believe in some very foolishness things yourself as well. You see what I'm saying? The fact of the matter is, folks, God has recorded in His Word that He parted this sea. Now, let's think commonly about this, how this would take place if it happened the way God described it. The Egyptians couldn't get to Him. Why? Because the Lord fought for them and put a barrier up so that He gave them time for the million people to cross through the Red Sea. Secondly, it was God's power that divided the sea to where it could be on dry land. In fact, in Exodus chapter 15, if you just turn over one verse, see if I can find this word here. There's an interesting word that it uses, and I may not be able to find it here. Yeah, here it is in verse 8. It says, "And with the blast of the nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." Now, I had no idea what that word congealed means. Does anybody know what that means? It actually means to harden up. Yeah. Because what you have here, think about that. If the sea would have split, you ever been, Haley and I were fortunate enough to go to the beach this past week. You ever been on the beach when the water comes up to the shore and then it goes back and you're walking on that shoreline? What happens to your feet? It starts sinking in, doesn't it? Because you can imagine that sand is wet and you would start sinking. Now, imagine what it would be like further out. And not even in the ocean where there's sand, but we're talking about here, we're talking about this sea splits open, and you can imagine in the very depths of it, it would have been like walking through quicksand to get over. But what did the Lord do to the bottom? He congealed it. He made it solid. They were able to walk over the land. Now what happened when Pharaoh and his men went through? The water went up, but not only did they drown, but they also sunk, were swallowed up by the earth as well in the depths of that sea. So, defending the faith. Why is that important? You say, that's just a typical, that's just one little story. What's it matter? Well, unfortunately, that's the attitude that a lot of Christian people are having with this. But folks, this is scattered throughout all of God's Word. In fact, I'm just going to very quickly mention, we don't have time to look at them like I wanted to. Exodus chapter 14 deals with it. Exodus 15 deals with it. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10 talks about this. Nehemiah 9 verse 11 talks with it. Psalms in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different places. Talks about this great event that the Lord caused the seas to part. Isaiah chapter 51 and Isaiah chapter 63 talk about this event of the God of God parting the Red Sea. Even in the New Testament it's mentioned. Remember in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, where it talks about them being baptized under the cloud of Moses. That's talking about walking through the Red Sea. It's not just a minor detail here. We're not talking about one little story. What we're talking about here is defending that God's Word says what it means. And that what God's Word says is true. We're confirming our faith here. And that's what I see when I read this verse. Secondly, see a copycat faith. How do you get a copycat faith out of this verse? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the sea, the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. What is a copycat faith? I think a copycat faith is, well, first of all, as long as you're going to have a true faith, folks, you're going to have those that have copycat faith. A copycat faith would be someone who does something or acts in a certain way expecting the same grace from God that someone with true faith receives. It's people that look to those that have true faith, and they mold their lifestyle or their ways after them, expecting that they will have the same blessings from God as they have, or that they will receive the same benefits that God has bestowed on someone with faith in His Son. Why did I bring that up here? Because it says here that the children of Israel passed through, but it says the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. You know what that word essaying means? It just means attempted. The Egyptians attempted to do this. What are you talking about? They attempted to do the exact same thing as the children of Israel did, didn't they? They saw that the waters were parted. They saw the dry land. And they saw that Israel had access to go completely across upon dry land onto safety. Now why were they able to pass through that land? First, of course, because they were God's chosen people. But why does Hebrews say that they passed through? Or how? By faith. Does that mean the Egyptians had faith when they walked through? No. You know what they had? Presumption. They believed because the Israelites walked through with complete safety, if they would follow along the same path and the same access, that they would have the same results of what the children of Israel had. Do you believe that? That's why they marched in after them. Were they right or wrong? They were wrong. See, swallowed them up. Folks, there are those that will look at a Christian who has true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they will try to live a life that molds after them, expecting to find favor with God. And they won't find favor with God. They may see one with true faith with great church attendance. And they may strive to be at church every Sunday and every Wednesday. They may see the morality of someone with true faith and strive to have that same morality and basically use the attitude of, well, if they're going to heaven, I'm just as what? Just as good as they are. I'm bound to go to heaven as well. Folks, when people do that, they're doing the same thing that Pharaoh and his army did. They're assuming that if I take the same path as them, I'll be safe. That's a copycat faith. It's not true and it's not real. You need to realize more than anything whether you have perfect church attendance, whether you talk morally and clean, or whether you live a moral, holy lifestyle, if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ crucified and risen again, you will drown as the children of the Egyptians drowned, as Pharaoh and his army drowned. You will face the same peril, only much worse. Copycat faith. The Egyptians believed that they had the same benefits that the Israelites had in regards to that sea, and how mistaken that they were. Make sure you don't do the same thing. Make sure you put your faith in Christ Jesus. And then last, I see a common faith here. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. There's some other verses that mention multiple people kind of by name. Like we talk about the parents of Moses when it mentions in verse 23, his parents hid him. But really, there's not very many instances up until this point that deal with a group of people having faith, is there? Deals with Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Moses. You got Moses' parents, that's two. But here it says they, meaning the whole multitude of them that crossed over, they had faith. Now the reason this is puzzling to me is because of the verse I read to you a few minutes ago. That immediately, and I hadn't really thought about that until I just read it, because I always assume or think children of Israel are in bondage. They hate being in Egypt. Here comes Moses, and these miracles happen and these plagues happen, and the children of Israel receive hope and they're set free, and it's a joyous occasion, and they get to the Red Sea, and then it parts and they cross through and they see the miracles of God, and then they get over into the wilderness, and that's when the complaining starts. I was wrong about that. The complaining started immediately. Here they are at the banks of the Red Sea, already saying, Moses, we told you, you should have just left us in Egypt. You brought us out here to die beside the Red Sea in the wilderness here. But yet Hebrews 11 said that they had faith. I'm sure their faith was weak from time to time. Of course it was. But put yourself, before we pick on them too much, put yourself in their shoes. Here you're in bondage, but at the same time you're making it with your family. You're living. Yes, you're working hard, but you're living with your family and you've settled. Yeah, it may be as a servant, it may be as a slave, but you've come accustomed to something and you're used to something and you've settled. Now this great opportunity arises and you, this is God's will, and you leave and you follow. And now you're facing what you consider to be imminent death. Because behind you is a sea that you can't cross, and in front of you on the horizon comes all the armies of Egypt that have had you in bondage for 400 years or so. And they're coming after you. And I don't think they're coming to arrest them. I think a lot of them were going to die that day. Would you have been complaining a little bit? I probably would have. Moses, I would have rather been making bricks without any straw than to deal with what's coming up here. But then, God talks to Moses, and Moses tells the people, remember what he says? He says, fear not. And then they see the great miracle of Moses' staff. No. The great miracle of Moses. No. Then they see God's power revealed by that water spreading forth. Do you think that encouraged them? Do you think that maybe at that point they realized, hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? But still, even at that point, it's one thing to see all that thing happen. It's another thing to do what? Take that first step into the water. I can't imagine how high that water was on each side. Can you imagine? I'm sure it blocked off any kind of light or anything. It's so dark they had to go down in it and cross through. I can't imagine how high the walls were. But they had to have faith to take those steps to cross over. And we're not talking 100 feet. We're not talking, half a block. There's a lot of people that think that this is probably a couple miles, maybe even 8 miles journey across this sea. I don't know how far it was, but it would have been a long walk. And you would have had to have faith to trust that God was going to be able to carry you through that entire time. Do you think that they all took off at once? Probably not. Do you think some of them were scared? I guarantee you that some of them were scared. Even knowing that this was God doing this, do you think that some of them had doubts when they started walking? We don't think of these things in actual human perspective. We think of this as a story long ago. We know the outcome. We know the ending. But put yourself in their shoes. Imagine how hard it would have been to be in the middle of the Red Sea, knowing that it was just as far back as it was forward. And then you're really depending on God's power of holding that open for you. Folks, it took faith for them to walk across. A common faith. Faith that we need to have together as well. And sometimes you can be scared and sometimes you can be weary, but sometimes it takes someone to take the lead or to give you that nudge to do the thing that you're supposed to do. I'm thankful for godly leaders like Kenny that encourage us to do things or call our attention to what God's Word tells us to do. And also live it too. Because when you see someone doing it, it might nudge you to the point to do it yourself as well. We need to have a common faith because, folks, when people have a common faith, great things can be done in the name of the Lord. And the Lord can use you mightily when a group of people are together. That's why He established the church, folks. Because it's not just individuals. It's individuals that make up one body, that function as one body and have a common faith. The book of Acts chapter 4 talks about this common faith in the church. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed that it was his own, but they had all things common. I know we're about out of time. I got to make one statement here. If people were to hear that today, and think of that today, immediately they would think of a cult. Folks, that's the way the church operates. Now, that doesn't mean you have to live together at one camp, an organization, or one place, and not own anything yourself. But I still think we can have those same principles in our church today. Someone needs something in our congregation, we should help meet their need. Someone needs to borrow something from me, it's yours. I say that because I would be more likely to need to borrow something from you than you'd borrow something from me. But they had all things in common. It wasn't a cult. It was a love and a unity for a resurrected Christ. And that's what we need to have. And I believe we do have here at Storms Creek. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection and the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and bought the prices of the things which were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to he hath need. Now you read that and people say, that is a call. All I think they're saying here, and I think it was to that point, but I think they're saying that they gave up their own things for the common good of everyone. Now, we may not have to go and sell our automobiles and sell our houses so that we all have the same, but we should have the principle in mind to be willing to sacrifice so that others don't go without. And I think we as a church should strive to do that, and we do that. It's a common faith. How hard would it have been to be the first one to make that step, cross that Red Sea? But they did it by faith. And everything we do, we need to do it in faith of what God's Word says He will do. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention tonight. We've seen a confirming faith. We need to stand strong for what God's Word says. We need to defend. We don't have to always find the scientific reason of why it's true. We don't have to always find the historic reason of why it's true. Folks, we need to be willing to stand and say, by faith I believe this, no matter what you think of me. Secondly, we need to have our own faith, not copycat faith. We need to trust in Christ Jesus and not assume that because our parents are saved that we're saved, not assume because our grandparents are saved we're saved, but put our own faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, not depending on the outcome of someone else. And then last, we need to have a common faith that unites us all together for the same purposes to accomplish what God has called us to do. And if you need a reminder of that, that is simply the commission that He has given to the church to go forth, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to observe all things.